Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at this same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. We're going to continue now in our study of the book of Revelation, one of the great prophecy books here and the completion book here of the New Testament, written by John approximately in the year 96 A.D. We'd like to continue now and to give an outline that is a natural outline given in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 19. So follow along with me if you will. In verse 19 it says, "Write the things which thou hast seen." That's the first division. "And the things which are," the second division. "And the things which shall be hereafter," that is the third division. "Write the things which thou hast seen." That is covered in Revelation chapter 1. That is the vision of the risen and the glorified Christ. He is the Lord of the church. He is the founder of the church. It is not anyone else. It's none of the apostles. It's not Peter. It's not the Baptists. It's not the Lutherans. It's no one but Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the founder of his church. Then we come to those things which thou hast seen, the glorified risen Christ. The things which are covered by chapters 2 and 3, and those are the seven churches existing here at the time of Christ. The letters to the seven churches covered in chapters 2 and 3. And then write the things which shall be hereafter. You'll find out from chapter 4 on, you'll never find a mention of the church. Because, first of all, it is raptured before that seven-year tribulation takes place. The things which shall be hereafter, chapters 4 and 5. Now, we'll break this down and just give you just a brief summary of each chapter, just a few statements, and then we'll go into it. But at least it will give you an idea of what is coming. The things which shall be hereafter in chapters 4 on to chapter 22. But now in verses 4 and 5, we have heaven pictured here. The scene is in heaven before the seven-year tribulation period begins. Then we find out here in chapter 6, we have the seals. The tribulation begins as the seals' judgments are released upon those left upon the earth. And then in chapter 7, we have the saved. This is a parenthetical chapter, showing that the Jews and members of every nation and tribe will be saved during the tribulation period. And then chapters 8 and 9, we have the blowing of the trumpets, or the judgments. The trumpet judgments fall upon the earth. And then, briefly, in chapter 10, here we have the angel. The angel gives John a book. And then in chapter 11, we have the two witnesses. The two witnesses will speak for God on the earth. The seventh trumpet judgment falls upon the earth. And then chapter 12, we have Israel here pictured. The Antichrist persecutes Israel and all who turn to Christ. You know, we have that same thing today. You get a Bible-teaching church, and you'll find more liberal churches lie about you and their members and their pastors and so forth, and they'll ostracize you. Well, in one sense, that's good, because you're not hooking up with that ecumenical forerunner of the Antichrist. You're going to see that, this one-world church, you're going to see that here in the book of Revelation. Chapter 13, we have the Antichrist. Here the Antichrist rises to world power and wants to be worshipped. And we're going to see where he has you and all religious people that have rejected Christ, but you're religious. And he'll have you accept the mark of the beast, the number 666. And then we have the grapes pictured here in chapter 14. Here the 144,000 of chapter 7 are seen safe with Christ. The Antichrist armies marching to Armageddon appear as grapes ripe for the crushing, and it is God's judgment upon them. Then we have the bowls pictured in chapters 15 and 16. The bowl of wrath, the judgments are poured out upon the earth following the Antichrist. And we have those as vials in the King James translation. Literally, in the Greek, they're bowls. But we find out here, God's judgment and wrath is going to come. It's going to shock you to see that God is just about fed up with the abortion, the anti-God, the no Bible in schools, and judgment is close to coming here upon the earth. We're moving at a fantastic rate, a momentum that is unbelievable when you compare our modern-day country, just of the United States of America, and the deterioration since this nation was founded. You wouldn't know it was the same country at all. And those judgments God is going to pour upon those nations that have turned their back upon him. Thank God you're a Christian. Thank God when the rapture comes and the Lord descends from heaven with a shout that you'll be taken up and taken out of this time here, and you won't experience from Revelation chapter 4 on. You'll not be here. You'll look at all of these judgments from heaven. Then we come to Babylon here in chapter 17 and 18. And this is the satanic Babylon of the end time, and it's destroyed at last. And chapter 17, we have the Babylon Harlot World Church. And then in chapter 18, we have the Babylon Commercial Empire of the Antichrist. But in chapter 17, you have the Babylon Harlot, and she is an apostate church. This, your forerunner, you're seeing today. And people hate it when we say this because they're involved in it. They have been sucked into it. They have had their minds brainwashed into this is the seemingly humanistic thinking. This is the right thing to do. Let's all churches get together, you know. That is never God's plan. Yes, if those churches teach the Bible, but you're having churches get together that do not even believe the same thing. This is hypocrisy. And God denounces that, but they will all do that. And maybe you belong to one of these ecumenical churches. You ought to stop and see where you're going and read the book of Revelation. You're being brainwashed into accepting the Antichrist. And most of those involved there do not have a salvation that is provided by Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, they'll talk about Christ, but they don't have a salvation by Christ. They have it by water baptism. They have it by church ordinances. They have it by good works, but not by faith in Christ alone. And so that's very deceiving. But you're going to see this one world church that people are being programmed for today through the ecumenical movement. Now, don't get mad at me for saying it. We just teach the Bible. You ought to get mad because you have been lied to. You have been siphoned into this. And you better get your eyes open because the book of Revelation will reveal this to you, and you've got a decision to make, you see. But it's shown in chapter 17 and 18. And then Armageddon in chapter 19. This is the time for the marriage supper of the Lamb, or Christ, and to the bride that it is the true church. That's every born-again believer. That's not just Baptist. You don't even have to be a member of a local church to be a member of the body of Christ. The minute you're saved, you become a member of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are told, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized." That is spirit baptism, not water baptism. We are all baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit now, not by the preacher and the water. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and that is the body of Christ, that spiritual body of Christ, with Christ being the head. Then we find out here that Christ, with his armies, come to the earth and destroy the forces of the Antichrist now gathered in Palestine at Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. And the 7 years are now over. This is at the end of this 7-year tribulation period. And then in chapter 20, we have pictured the kingdom here. Christ establishes the 1,000-year kingdom of peace prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11 and many other prophecies in Isaiah. The unsaved dead of all of the ages are judged before the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire. You've had relatives that have been caught up into occult religion. I was talking to a man just the other day, and I asked him, I said, "You know, I'd like to come down and talk to you." He said, "What about?" I said, "I'd like to talk to you about the New World Translation, the most perverted thing there." He is a Jehovah's Witness. I said, "I want to talk to you about hell that you denounce and don't believe in, and about a heaven you don't believe in, only for the 144,000. And I asked him, I said, "Have you ever had Greek? Have you ever studied Greek?" He said, "No, I haven't." I said, "The New World Translation is the most perverted translation I have ever seen in my life." And I said, "I've written those folks from Jehovah's Witnesses 3 times, and to tell me who these so-called scholars are that have made this perversion." He said, "Oh, you'll never get their names." I said, "You know what? Why would you not? That shows they're counterfeit right off of the bat. Because if they did something, you ought to be able to stand up and say, 'I did this,' if you're proud of what you've done and you did it correctly." But they know that anybody that knows anything about the Greek language and decipher the perversion of what these people have done to brainwash the people that are in there. But I said, that's the reason you're deceived. You do not know anything about the Greek or that. You're the people that they are after, you see. But anyway, we find out that they're coming here, and at the great white throne judgment, those are cast into the lake of fire. They've been in hell in the English language now. That is, they've been in Hades. They have been in the center of the earth in a place of torment. They're going to be brought up at the end there, the kingdom. And they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment before the new heavens and new earth are created and cast into the lake of fire, chapter 20. And then chapters 20 and 21 and 22 have the new earth. The new heavens and earth are formed. The new Jerusalem descends from the earth or to the earth. And the redeemed are with Christ in joy for all remaining eternity. What a glorious, blessed hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to take one more thing in part of our introduction here before we continue on here and get into the first chapter. We want to define some terms here that we're going to use, and we'll give that. First of all, when you see the revelation of St. John the Divine at the head of Revelation chapter 1, the title given by the King James Version, as you read it here, the revelation of St. John the Divine. This title is not one here for John, who was a believer or a saint, that he wrote this work here, which he did. But what we're saying is here that the title is not ill one for John, who was a believer, which he was. But we're going to find out here he was also a theologian, and the old English label for such a one was divine. Not that one should think, as the King James translators never thought of it that way, that John was in any sense himself divine, that is, part of deity. The revelation of St. John the Divine does not appear in the original there. You're going to find out the proper title of the book of Revelation should be, as chapter 1 gives here in the first verse, the revelation, which is the apocalypse here, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That should be the title of the book of Revelation. Now, we find out here the best and proper title, as we say, for the wonderful book, however, is its biblical one, as taken from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Greek, the initial word, the, does not occur. Therefore, the exact title would be A Revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is precisely what this book is. It's a showing forth of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is coming forth in the end times to rescue his people, the people of Israel, and his church, whether Jew nor Gentile, and to judge the wicked and subjugate at last the earth to the will of God. Another title for this book is called The Apocalypse, and this is the anglicized spelling of the first word of this book as it's found in the original Greek. This word means a revelation. The Greek word apocalypse is actually a transliteration of the Greek word apocalypsis, and it comes from apo, meaning from, and lupto, meaning to conceal. Therefore, we have the apocalypse signifies literally a removing of the veil from that which was previously concealed. Therefore, it is a revelation, and thusly, this book shows forth things previously hidden. Many of its visions, however, are in substance identical to those, as we're going to find in Daniel, in Isaiah, Joel, and the other prophets. Only now we have additional details that are added. The Old Testament, in many cases, is truly the dictionary and the commentary which explains the apocalypse. Now, also we'd like to say this. We're going to be referring from time to time back to the book of Daniel because these two books are companion books. We find out Daniel speaks a lot of the world governments and of the fourth beast, which also is an extension down through till the tribulation period, showing an identical identification of the Antichrist. So we're going to be going back and forth here between the book of Revelation and Daniel on some of these key verses here to help explain that. Now, also, we like to take a few definitions here. Abomination of desolation, what does that mean? That's a desecration of the temple by the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation period. His final attempt to force the Jews to worship him, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and Matthew 24:15, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What do you mean by the Antichrist? It's a name taken from 1 and 2 John. In Daniel, he's referred to as the little horn, and the vile person. In 2 Thessalonians, he's referred to as the son of perdition, and in the book of Revelation, he's referred to as the beast out of the sea, or the sea of people. Satan so completely possesses this man as to amount to an incarnation. Scriptures appear to indicate that he, as Judas Iscariot, will become indwelt by Satan. These are the only two that we find ever personally indwelt by Satan himself. We have demon possession today. We have a lot of that. Much more, you would be shocked to death if you study your Bible on demonism and see the comparison of what we have today. It would absolutely shock you. With the crime and the actions of some of the people today, there is no doubt paralleling, almost identical to the things, and you say Satan worship, and Anton LaVey, your founder of the Satanic Church in California, one of the founders of it there. These men are demon-possessed. Satan, we find, only possesses two people, but he has his fallen angels that are demons today. They can possess people. They did it at the time of Christ, and they raised havoc. They are strong. They can affect you physically. And many things they can do when you study demonology. But we find out here that the Antichrist will oppose Christ and his children, his saints, and the Jews. And he will be first hailed as the man of peace and given unlimited power by the European countries. Even the United States and Israel will probably be part of this. At his rise, the Antichrist will be only a man, but with satanic power. And his sudden sensational rise as the savior of the world, threatened by destruction, will mark the beginning of the time of the end. His later attempt to annihilate the Jews will bring about his defeat at Jerusalem by the return of Christ. All prophecy up to the return of Christ will be fulfilled in his day. He will rise to power in the first 3.5 years, and then he will declare himself to be God, setting in the temple, the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem. The last 3.5 years, he'll require you to take the mark of the beast. Then what do we mean, Ben? We refer to eschatology. Eschatology is from the Greek words eschus, and it means last, and logos, which means word. Like in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, that's logos. And the word, knowledge. Therefore, it refers to knowledge of the last things, and it's a study of the prophecies which tell of the future consummation of the world. It is a study of the doctrine of last things or the last days. Then what do you mean by a false prophet? Let us define that. The Antichrist will be the political ruler who will work the works of Satan. The false prophet will be the religious ruler who will undergird the work of the Antichrist. Both get their power from Satan. The false prophet never will attempt to promote himself. He will never become an object of worship. He will do the work of the prophet in that he directs attention away from himself to the one whom he says has the right to be worshipped, and that is the Antichrist. He throws all of his power there. The false prophet will imitate many miracles of God. He'll cause fire to come down from heaven, imitating the miracles of Elijah, in order to convince the nation of Israel that he, the false prophet, is the Elijah. He's not, but he's going to try to convince them of that, whom Malachi had promised was yet to come. Having achieved this deception, the false prophet will declare that since this miracle, that is bringing fire down from heaven, shows that he is Elijah, then, therefore, the Antichrist is truly Christ and should be worshipped. He'll also build a statue, and through some satanic or technological miracle, he'll cause this statue or this image to talk and somehow come to life. When the people see this miracle, they'll fall down and worship the Antichrist, believing him to be Christ. And you know, you have the same thing today, do you not? And we'll amplify more when we get into the scriptures there. But do you not have today, you have everybody wanting to see some miracle, some mirage, somebody appeared here in the person of this person or this saint or that saint, and they always appeared over here. And we've seen him or her. This is all satanic, folks. You know what? We just have gullible people that want something to believe religiously, to make them religious, to justify that the religion that they belong to is correct. How foolish can you be? The Word of God is the guideline and the foundation of all of what is true or false. When you take the Bible away as your criteria for judging what is right or wrong, what is true or false, then you're in deep trouble because Satan will deceive you. The only way you can ever find him out is read the Bible and see if what you see, what you're being told, corresponds with the Word of God. If it doesn't, then you're being deceived and there is no ifs, ands, or buts. What do you mean by heaven? Because we're going to see that here. We find out that heaven referred to in the Scriptures to, first of all, the starry heavens as spoken of in Genesis chapter 1, and second, the atmospheric, I can't even pronounce it here, the atmospheric heavens in which the birds fly and so forth, as in Jeremiah 4:25, and to also the place wherein God manifests his presence, and that is the third heaven. And that's where the redeemed have an eternal place prepared for them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's our new home. And the New Testament is especially marked by the fact that there the believer is alive and present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, I would rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. In the future, after the millennium and after sin is forever done away with, then God will make new heavens and new earth, according to Revelation 21:1. And upon this new earth, the heavenly new Jerusalem will descend, wherein on the new earth and in this new city, the redeemed will dwell throughout all eternity with Christ. So that gives you just a brief thing. When we talk about heaven, there are three heavens. The third one is where our abode is. And then when you hear us talk about Hellenization, what do we mean by that? We may refer to that as we go through the book of Revelation here. It's from the Greek word Hellen, meaning a Greek. Therefore, this term denotes the movement to spread Greek language and culture to the rest of the world. This desire received its impetus from the conquest of Alexander the Great from 336 to 313 B.C. And from this time onward, it really spread. The Pharisees, and you begin to understand why they opposed the Herodians and the Sadducees, because the Pharisees opposed this Hellenistically minded Herodians and the Sadducees concerning this. They hated that which was Greek, but Herod adored it. Now, the last days, what do we say when we're referring to the last days? The reference to the last days means the days immediately prior to the rapture of the saints and the ushering in of the tribulation period of 7 years. Millennium, what do we mean by millennium spoken of here in the book of Revelation chapter 20? Millennium is the Latin word mille, M-I-L-L-E, which means thousand, and annum, A-N-N-U-M, which means year. It therefore refers to the prophesied coming of the 1,000-year period of time when Christ shall reign upon the earth absolutely with a rod of iron. And he will be King of Kings. He will not listen to any of these atheists or any of these religious people that try to pretend and are nothing more than hypocrites, run to church on Sunday and run to the bar on Monday, and nothing but hypocrisy, you see. No, Christ will rule this earth with a rod of iron. There'll be no more murders. There'll be no more rapes. There'll be no more thefts. There'll be no more anything. It'll be an earth for 1,000 years as God intended it to be. He gave it to man for 6,000. Six is the number of man. Man has done everything to destroy the beautiful things that God has given him, including his life many times. Seven is God's word for completion. You'll find out the 7,000th year, Christ will complete what he intended here. His perfection will be on the earth and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Satan will be bound at this time for that period and that earthly peace, so it will prevail. In the Old Testament, this period is described as the period of the kingdom of heaven in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and chapter 7. Isaiah 11 is the key Old Testament passage which tells of the peace and the righteousness of this time. Israel shall be restored and converted. It shall have an honored place in the millennial kingdom, and all of the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be inherited by and fulfilled, as God will fulfill his promise to his chosen people during the 1,000-year millennial reign. They'll rule and reign with Christ. Rapture, what do we mean by rapture? Rapture is not found, the word itself, but it is a word here that means catching away. And in 2 Thessalonians, before the Antichrist is revealed, the church will be caught away up into heaven. That's why you never find the word church from chapter 4 on there, because it's already taken up into heaven, and you and I, as a Christian now, because we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, will have a home in heaven, and we'll be watching all of these things as God directs them from heaven itself. He'll call this angel over and say, I want you to go down there. Move the sun closer to the earth so that it will burn. And men will seek to have relief, but they'll find none. These are part of God's judgments. Well, we're through with our introductions now as far as we want to go. We'll start in on chapter 1 next week. But before we conclude today, let me ask you this. Are you religious or do you have Jesus Christ and Christianity? Religion is self-made self-righteousness, 5 times spoken of in the Bible, 4 times evil. Christianity, first called Christians at Antioch. Are you a Christian? By being a Christian, I don't mean being religious. I mean accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you can bear the name of Christ as a Christian. Being religious means absolutely nothing. It is the hater of Christianity. You'll never go to heaven by good works. You'll never go to heaven by your religious attire. You'll never go to heaven by church membership or water baptism. None of those things will ever get you to heaven. But thank God that He loved you and He loved me and He sent Jesus Christ to pay for my sin and yours. And He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through the Son. You can accept Christ now as your Savior, and I hope that you'll do that. And if you have, by listening to the broadcast, please write us and let us know of that decision. We'd be so thrilled to know that Christ is your Savior and your home is in heaven. If you've never taken time to write, we hope that you'll do that. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you. And we hope that you pray with us, even so come, Lord Jesus.